Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 36. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. So happy to have you here. Today I have a book recommendation podcast with writer and fellow reader Julie Varnaugh. I just want to share that Julie has a weekly newsletter called Jules that you must sign up. In this, she shares her observations of living in New York City, things that she did, the books you read, and whatnot. And it's hilarious. I encourage you to sign up. If you want to sign up, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/Jules. Now let's get to today's interview. Hi, Julie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so happy to have you here. So tell us who you are.
I am a writer and editor. I worked in magazines for about 10 years, and then last year I went freelance. So I'm a freelance writer now, and I write for Cosmopolitan magazine mostly. And then I also have a newsletter that I work on that is all my own called Jules.
Let's talk about your newsletter. So I'm a subscriber just recently, and I have to be honest, it's a breath of fresh air. I love hearing your experience. I love your reviews and whatnot. So tell us, who is it for and what do you share?
It is for anyone who has an interest in what is exciting, fun, fresh. My original concept for it was I wanted it to be super funny and super fast. Mm-hmm. I don't have the patience to read anything super long. We get so many emails a day. So I wanted this to be something that you could look forward to. And it's essentially just 5 or 6 fun things that I either saw this week or ate or cooked or talked with a friend about. And then, of course, there is a weekly Ansel Elgort update because I am obsessed with Ansel Elgort. A friend actually asked me, she's like, do you really like him or is this tongue-in-cheek? I'm like, no, I really do like him. And it's just like a funny way to let you know what Ansel Elgort is doing every week. But it comes out every Friday morning, and I really like to have interaction with my readers. A lot of them will write back to the email, and then I'll post that on my Instagram stories. And I like that it's just a cool group of funny women. It's mostly women who read, but we have some guys, too, who really like it. I try to keep myself as busy as possible in the city, so I am always seeing a musical or listening to new music, you know, seeing something new and then writing about my take of it. So that is what Jules is.
Yeah, I love it. I love your take on Orange Theory, which is, we talked about before we started this conversation. So I love the way you took on something and experienced and then share your experience around it, which was a good, the bad, and the ugly, which is kind of funny to experience.
Yeah, and I never want to hate on anything because I can see the good and bad in pretty much anything. But I think that something like Orange Theory, which requires so much preparation even before your first class, it's like the people need to know this because I feel like it's one of those workouts that I guess, do people know what Orange Theory is? I don't know. I don't have to go into detail about that. But yeah, it just has a lot of culture around it. And I wanted to talk honestly about it. And it's not good or bad. It's whatever works for you. But I actually enjoyed the class. It was just the prep work that went into that class was overwhelming.
Yeah, the prep work at 6 o'clock in the morning, definitely not something I'm looking forward to it. So I understand.
I know. Like I was saying, it's so hard to prep yourself for a new class and then to have to get there a half hour early just to get, you know, training on how the class works, which again is very helpful once you're in the class, but you're like, this is a lot just for one workout class. It's a lot. That's all I'll say. Yeah. Subscribe and I'll tell you more.
I love it. Well, thank you for really sharing your experience and thank you for doing different things in New York City that inspires me to do more things to myself too.
Yeah, and apropos of this podcast, one of the things I write about in the newsletter is whatever I'm reading. And so I try to give honest, although I am a writer, so I'm very sensitive to criticizing other writers' work. But I try to give honest reviews of the books that I read.
Yeah. And you're reading 52 books this year? Is that the game plan?
You're making me look bad now. I read 52 last year, and I'm going for 26 this year because I felt like when I read 52, and I know you read a million books, but I was picking shorter books so that I could actually meet the goal. I couldn't read anything over like 350, 400 pages. It was just really hard to do in a week. So this is my year of reading longer books because then I'll have more time. So 26 is the goal this year.
I like it. I like that goal. That's a manageable goal. I used to read a book every week or every other week. So somehow over the past couple of years, I somehow got speed reading happening, which is a brand new thing. But I understand the pain. You know, I wanted to read longer books. This year, actually, I'm decreasing my book number size from 362, which was last year, where I read a lot of books. I consume a lot. Now I actually have other things in my life. Like I'm doing improv, I'm doing fitness classes, I'm doing all the other things. So my reading time is not as consumed. So I'm reduced it for like a couple hundred less books this year.
Oh my gosh. Wait, but what is your secret to speed reading?
I don't know. For some reason, I can actually focus my time. So I think what happens is I used to read and very distracted. Like I'll just be doing other things. And now I'm able to just spend a couple hours and power through a couple hundred pages. So I just need, you know, and I read on Kindle, which I feel like it's faster than reading in a hardback. Although I read hardbacks on a weekly, on the weekends. But for the most part, I read Kindle. And I think Kindle makes it breeze faster, I think. But I think those are a couple of things. I think for me, I'm able to focus my time, like my energy on the book. And I'm able just to want to know what's next. But a few hours a day, that's what I typically read.
That is awesome. I'm such a – well, I usually try to read everything that's new. I usually just read new books. Yeah. And I always try to get the hardcover because I want to Instagram the book and I want it to look pretty, which is a snobby way to read, but that's what I do.
Yeah, I get the books from the library, which they do much better on Instagram. The hardbacks do much better than the ebooks, but I typically read during the week. I read ebooks, so and I've been able to get a lot of ARCs, advanced reader's copy. So that's been that's adding on more of the volume. It's like I'm reading for review, so there's an expectation there that I'm reading a book. There's a review going to happen with it.
That's a good point. I get galleys too sometimes, and I'm like, I need the paperback or I need the hardcover to Instagram.
I understand. So, let's talk about books. So what's your favorite genre?
So my favorite genre, it's funny. I was actually looking at Amazon.com to what is a genre anymore? I definitely prefer literary fiction over most anything and usually contemporary fiction. Like I said, I try to read whatever is new, whatever is by an author that I've already read and I like or that has been buzzy. I have lots of friends who are editors who read a ton. And so I'm always like, I have a friend, my friend Katie, and she's always reading good books. So I'm like, tell me what I should be reading next. She was so helpful last year when I was doing 52. But I really just try to read, I know this isn't a genre, but the books that everyone's talking about, basically. Yeah. And whether or not that's fiction, usually I tend to move toward fiction. I find that nonfiction, though, is faster to read in a lot of cases, like especially books of essays. I find that I can fly through those really fast. Or if it's like a memoir by a celebrity, it's like easy to blow through, but also so easy to forget. I'm always like, yeah, I love Mindy Kaling's books, but I can't tell you what they're about, unfortunately, because I read them so fast that it was like in and out. I was like, I liked it, but I couldn't tell you what it was about. It's funny, though. I was thinking about when I was growing up, I was obsessed with mystery novels. I've probably read almost every Agatha Christie that's out there, and I could just wolf those down, just devour them. But I haven't read a mystery in a while, and I actually need your advice for like good mystery novels now.
So I read The Wife Between Us, which came out in January. I enjoyed it. I was like psychological thriller, sort of like it just is about. It's about marriage and whatnot. So that was a good book. I didn't care for the ending of it, but it was a good book. I enjoy reading it. And I read Final Girls, which is about there's a massacre of people. There was a massacre and there's one surviving girl who survives the massacre. So there's about three of them and there's a story about them. They're the final girls from the massacre. I found that was actually had a good twist, good mystery.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
Those are a couple of books that I would say that I enjoy. I've been picking up thrillers here and there, and mystery, just kind of like just trying to understand what's next. I read The Lion Game by Ruth Ware, and I couldn't care less. I didn't enjoy it. But I heard good things about her. So I was like, well, let me give it a try. But I really was like, I didn't connect with the characters. I was just like, oh, I don't care about this book. So I wouldn't recommend The Lion Game. But The Wife Between Us, I would say that's a really good book to read.
Oh, awesome. Wait, The Life or The Wife?
The Wife. The Wife Between Us.
The Wife. Got it. I'm like writing this down as you're saying it. I feel like we need another Gone Girl. We need like the big, you know, that kind of book. I'm really like itching for something like that. And I feel like all of those type of like suspenseful, thrilling books now happen to be nonfiction. Like I just read I'll Be Gone in the Dark by Michelle McNamara, about the Golden State Killer. It is so good. I couldn't sleep anytime I read it. Like I had to read it during the day because it's so terrifying. And the murders he commits and the way he approaches his victims is so terrifying that I like had to sleep with my closet door open and like look behind the shower curtain every time I went to the bathroom. It's just so, so terrifying. And so many things like this all happened in the 70s. And so these are things that like probably couldn't happen today with security and with technology, but like truly terrifying and just kind of gross too. So that one kept me up, but that was one that I heard through a friend, like everyone happened to be reading it and then they had just caught the Golden State Killer. So I was like, oh, I'm intrigued. But I feel like, that's nonfiction. So I'm like, where's I need a good mystery novel. So I'll check out the ones you told me about.
Yeah, check those out. You might find them good for. I know they're bringing the authors from The Wife Between Us. They're doing a new book in January, which I'm looking for it. So it seems like a good mystery. It was a good mystery. I just couldn't care less for the final chapter. I was like, oh, okay, that was just like you had another twist, but I was like, couldn't care less. But the twists and turns that happened during the book, I enjoy them.
Do you ever like? Scroll ahead.
Yes, I do. I'm like, I need to know what the ending is. I don't mind the spoilers. Like, I'm buddy reading with a few girls a new horror book, and I was like, I was just scrolling through the spoilers. They were like telling me what's gonna happen. I was like, you know what? I don't mind knowing what's gonna happen. The experience is still gonna be enjoyable. I'm still gonna enjoy the book.
So. Oh my gosh. I don't even like to know if there is a twist in something because then I'm just expecting it at every corner. Like I like to go into everything really blind because otherwise I will scroll ahead and then I like the suspense.
There we go. Well, there's a couple books. So I would say skip The Wife Between Us then because I already gave you a clue that there's going to be twists and turns to that one.
Okay.
That's actually a pretty good one.
Okay. Sounds good.
Awesome. So what are your top three favorite books of all time?
This was such a hard question. I knew what one of them was definitely Madame Bovary by Flaubert. And I read that in high school for the first time. And I think it was almost that I loved the way my teacher taught it more than I maybe would have loved the book if I had read it on my own, which I think is like a good testament to a teacher. You know, that says so much about a teacher in the way that we're taught literature. And honestly, I don't even know if I could tell you the full plot anymore because it's been years since I read it, but it just taught me that writing a novel could be super complicated, and that an object in a room could represent something. It just made me think about fiction in a whole new way. It's like the color of a room could mean something. I remember being taught while we read that book that that yellow, if a room was yellow, it signified claustrophobia. And I was like, what? I had never thought about that. And a lot of things happen in threes in that book. There are actually three Madame Bovary's throughout it. And so to see the number three, and what does that mean? It just made me unpack a book in a way that I had never thought to do that before. And then my second one is one that I read last year. It came out, I think, a couple years ago, but it's called Homegoing by, I hope I'm saying her name right, Ya Gyasi. And it is about two sisters who are born in Africa and then get separated, and it follows their lineage, you know, from each side. It follows from generation to generation, their experiences in America, but being Black in America and coming from slavery. And it's funny, you can read so much in the newspaper and you can read so many first person accounts and get a good sense of something, but something about the way she wrote this book, and though it's fictionalized, said so much to me about where people come from and what that means, and why we should why we should consider everyone where they came from. Like, we should consider people's origins more than I think we do in this country. So that really, I just love the way it was woven together, and I loved the writing was so good, the story was so good, it made me cry multiple times, which is rare with a book. And so it really stuck with me, and I wish everyone in America could read this book. It just really spoke to me. I'm not being specific at all, but just read it. And then another, I don't even know if I have a third. I wish I was going through my mind. I was like, maybe I should say the first Harry Potter book just because of what it represents. Or maybe I should say something nonfiction that really inspired me. But I think, and I don't, this is so hard. I feel like the first time I had read David Sedaris, and I read Me Talk Pretty one day, and that was the first time I'd really read an author who was having fun with his writing and was completely humorous and smart, and wrote the way he spoke and the way people actually think. And there's like almost like a Larry David aspect to his writing that I really enjoyed. And again, it was the first time where I was like, wow, people can really be fun with writing. It doesn't have to be so serious. And so I really like that about him. And again, it was just because it was people have done it for centuries, but it was just the first time I had read it. And so it really stuck with me, Me Talk Pretty One Day. So I think those are my top three, and I'm sure they'll change in a week.
Yeah, I love it. Who are your go-to authors?
So David Sedaris is one of them. I read most of his books. I want to read that new one, though.
Calypso,
I think it's called. Yeah, Calypso. I read his diaries last year, the first part of his diaries. And I got to say, I don't like diaries. Every time I read one, even if I love the person, there's still an element of, like, I don't care. They just seem to me to be less illuminating than I want them to be. Another author that I really love is Maria Semple. She wrote Where Did You Go, Bernadette? Did you read that?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed it. It's so good.
I just loved that book. And then her next one was called Tomorrow Will Be Different. And I really loved that as well. I think, again, I'm so attracted to authors with a really distinct voice. And so I thought her, like, I can read her books and laugh out loud. And I think, again, like, you don't always think of that with fiction being really humorous. And so I like writers who, I think she used to write for The Simpsons. You're going to have to fact check me on that. But I love writers who can add humor in a fresh way. And so, yeah, David Sedaris, Maria Semple, and then back in the day, Agatha Christie. I probably like rented every one of her books from the library.
I love it. Favorite books have you read so far this year?
Okay, so I was just on vacation and I just read An American Marriage by Tayari Jones. It was, have you read it?
I have it on my bookshelf. I actually can borrow an audio, and I'm thinking of just picking out an audiobook and read it more.
Ooh, I should do more audiobooks. I loved it so much. I so rarely care for a character so much. There's a Roy Jr., a Roy Sr., and I just loved them to pieces. There's a character named Celestial that's the wife of this American Marriage. And again, like I just, they each take over a chapter, and then there's a big chunk that's told throughout letters, and it's a spoiler if I tell you why, but their voices are just captured. She captures a woman's voice and a man's voice, and it's so hard to do. I've read so many books by men who are trying to write women and women who are, you know, and it's, you can tell when they don't really know what they're talking about. And these just, it wasn't even like man, woman, it was just character. It was so good. I loved it. I've been telling everyone about it and I want to read it again. And then there was another book I read this year, that I absolutely loved because it was so kind of batshit. But it was called The Pisces by Melissa Broder. And it's about a woman who falls in love with a merman, which sounds insane. But when you're reading it, you're like, this is obviously so real. And again, just like super, voicey, really funny. And though I have never fallen in love with a merman, it made me feel like I could and that this was possible. Like I have so little in common with the main character. She's like kind of going through a crisis and moves to her sister's house on the coast of California, I think in Malibu. And yeah, discovers this guy out on the rocks by the water. And she doesn't even realize he's a merman for a good chunk of it. And then when she does, her mind is blown. And it was fascinating. Like the character is like, you kind of hate her. Like she's selfish. She's self-destructive. And yet I love the book. So, yeah, those are two that I've read this year that I absolutely loved. Another one, this is such a guilty pleasure, but whatever. I don't believe in guilty pleasures. It was just a pleasure. I read Bachelor Nation by Amy Kaufman.
Me too.
I thought it was fascinating. I think I've heard some people say that it didn't actually give you that much dirt. I disagree. I guess I just didn't know that much about The Bachelor. But she writes for the LA Times, and so she had been covering it for a while. Covering the show for a while, and then wrote this book about it. And she talked to so many past contestants. I was like, I couldn't believe how open some of them were. It's just crazy how some of them were so open, and then some of them were like, do not talk to me and refuse to engage.
Yeah, I love that book. I was like, it is weird. And then that she didn't get invited anymore for the showings. I was like, so, so intricacy about the whole process of it. And then the dirt that comes from the show. So.
Yes. Yeah. And I had no idea. I think I had heard that they have to do psychiatric evaluations before they can be on the show. But like, I had no idea how lax they are about it, or if they seemingly lax they are about it. Yeah, it was kind of fascinating. And you always hear these things like, oh, people just get on it to get famous and get endorsements. And I'm like, oh, whatever. The money can't be that good. And then you read this book and you're like, oh, I totally see why someone would do that.
I know all the money that comes from Instagram. I was like, I didn't think of it. I was like, oh my gosh, you're like living it up by just posting things on Instagram. So
I know. And I also kind of felt bad about watching the show after this last season. I thought they just like did Becca dirty. Like I thought they really seemed to use her. And then of course they made her the next Bachelorette. And so I was like, you know what? The problem is, it's not the show. It's that I'm watching the show. Like I can choose to stop watching. And yet here I am.
I know, me too. I was like, here I am. I know this is wrong what they're doing. This whole breakup thing happened. I was like, this is like a bad show to watch. And yet I'm through to TV watching what's next. And now I'm watching The Bachelorette because I wanted her to have a happy ending. So
I know, that's the thing. Cause I'm like, okay, if I were her, I would be pissed and just walk away. But then, you know what? Like, she saw it as a business opportunity. Like, it just made me see this whole show as just business completely. Like, the actual search for love, we all fall for it. And I guess that is why I watch it. But, like, at the end of the day, it's really just about money. So I guess as long as everyone knows that, then we all feel a little less bad. I don't know. Or maybe worse. But yeah, I read that book this year and I really enjoyed it.
I enjoy it too. It's a really good book to read. So, what's been your most anticipated release for 2018?
So I am so excited to read Michelle Obama's Becoming, her memoir that comes out this fall. And I'm sure someone fabulous like Vogue or the New York Times will excerpt it, and I can't wait. But I mean, I just love her, and I can't wait to hear more about her life. So that's coming out this fall. And then in a couple of weeks, there's a book coming out, which I admittedly have already read because I got a galley of it, but I am still excited about its release. It's called When Katie Met Cassidy. It's by Camille Perry, who I worked with at Cosmo, and it is a true lesbian love story in a, you know, I don't want to say mass market book, but like we just haven't seen stories like this. And why not have a lesbian romance in a way, like in a popular book? I don't know. I haven't seen it in this way. And I thought it was great. I just loved it. Like, I thought it was sweet. I thought it was funny. And it's so surprising that we don't have more books like this out there. So I'm really excited for it to come out. I think it comes out in a couple weeks. So I'm happy for Camille, and I'm also just happy that the book exists.
Yeah, it's was one of the book of the month picks for this month. I ended up skipping it. But yeah, it is. And people were like giving away. I've been seeing it on Instagram too, which is kind of exciting to see the book come to life, you know, a book that's getting some buzz about it.
Yeah, I've been seeing it around too. And again, that's like Instagram is a huge way that I find out about new books, or, you know, I always just trust other people's opinions and tastes when I'm choosing books. I'm like, oh, if this person liked it, then I'll probably like it. So I think Instagram has kind of like changed the game in a way, to learning about people's tastes. So that's why I'm always posting what I read on Instagram. And so many people have said to me, like, oh, I saw that you read this, so I, you know, I'm going through your 52 list, and I'm sure people do this to you all the time. And so, or they're always asking me what to read, and I'm like, just look at my Instagram. Go from there.
I know. I'm like, what are you reading? And I'm like, just go to my Instagram or Goodreads. Both places have me. I keep track of the books that I'm reading, which is kind of fun. And I'm always looking for new books to read, so that's where I find them. I'm like, ooh, what should I read next? I'm like, just gonna go that. And now I have the podcast to ask other people's for suggestions. But before that, it was Instagram.
Totally.
So.
Totally.
What has been your most disappointed read?
I think you know this one. I had such high hopes for Meg Wolitzer's The Female Persuasion. I know it was such a big release for the spring, and I loved The Interestings. I thought it was so well written. I loved that it followed the characters when they were young into becoming adults. And The Female Persuasion just didn't do it for me. I felt like I just have loved other things that she's written more than this. So this was kind of a bummer for me. I read it to the end. It's not short. It's probably like, I don't want to say 400. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. But it's not short. And I love female protagonists, so I was really excited to see a story about young women starting their first jobs. And I thought that she captured that so well. I actually thought that she really captured how hungry you are when you're at your first job, and you think like every little move you make is going to determine your future. And I totally related to that. About, you know, I moved to New York in my early 20s. I worked at a fashion magazine. I really wanted to impress my bosses. I wanted to do good work. And the main character is that way too, and she's with her boyfriend from high school, maybe, or from college, and so was I. So there were all these things that I could relate to, and the plot just didn't do it for me. And I, yeah, that was disappointing. Another one that I was disappointed by, and that so many people, again, had Instagrammed because it's a beautiful cover, is Sweet Bitter by Stephanie Dandler. And I know that it has a TV show, too, now. But I read it and was kind of like, meh, that's a book. It just had so much hype around it. And then I was like, okay, it's about working in a kitchen. I get it. It's almost like, you know, Devil Wears Prada of the kitchen world. And it was fine, but it just did not grab me like it grabbed the rest of the world, apparently.
Yeah, I've seen that in Goodreads, actually. They've done a good big campaign now to read the book, which is interesting because of the movie or the TV show that's happening. So, but it hasn't been inspired for me to pick it up. I'm like, oh, it seems like an interesting book, but I'm like, not really, like, I must pick it up now.
It's fine. You'll be fine if you don't read it.
Yeah, that's good to know. So what book should my listeners pick up right now and add it to their TBR?
I absolutely loved Tiffany Haddish's The Last Black Unicorn.
Oh my God, that was amazing.
It was so funny. I loved her in Girls Trip, and I love seeing her on the red carpet or on talk shows. She's so funny. And this book, I mean, I'm very, I don't know, dubious about celebrity memoirs because they're just not that interesting. And then also these celebrities are not actually writers. So the writing's not good. The stories aren't particularly interesting. This blew me away. I laughed so hard out loud while reading it that I literally had to put it down at certain times. It's again, a celebrity memoir that I can remember the stories that she tells. There's one in particular about going on a date with one of her coworkers when she worked at the airport.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that story was hilarious and at the same time heartbreaking too.
Heartbreaking and so funny. I wish I could remember his name and now I can't remember it. I should have prepared. And then there's also that story about how she pooped in her ex-boyfriend's shoes, which just like, it's like she has lived a life. She is hysterical. And I would read everything she writes. Like, I just think she is so, so funny. I wonder if there's an audiobook of it because it would be hysterical to hear her actually saying it. I have no idea.
Yeah, I would definitely check it out. I love her story, Jada Pinkett Smith, and the whole rich people.
Yes!
I was just laughing at that. I was like, oh my gosh, she's observing a reality of like how rich people act. That is different from her reality. So
I know, and I couldn't believe that Jada let her write those things. Like, it was just so funny.
It was hilarious. So, yeah, that's definitely a must-pick book to have. So we're wrapping things up. So tell us where we can find you online.
Oh, I have a website. It's julievadnell.com. And then I also have an Instagram that is julievadnell. And that's where I chronicle everything that I read. But on my website, you can find the 52 books that I read last year, and then you can also sign up for Jules at julievadnell.com or on my Instagram. So those are kind of the main ways to find me online.
Awesome. Thank you, Julie, for a great interview.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Julie, for a great interview. If you'd like to connect with Julie, please visit our website, julievadnell.com. For show notes and other information of books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This is the best way for this podcast to get discovered by new audiences. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic week.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.